And welcome everybody to episode 33 of Digesting Cinema with Aaron and Christina. I'm your host, Aaron, and as always, I'm joined by my fellow host, Christina. And this week, we're joined by the category. We're doing the category of Tyler Perry Movies, the owner and operator of the largest movie studio I know in America. It might be in the world, in Atlanta, where Tyler Perry's studio is located at. But yeah, so very worthy category. The movie is written and directed by Tyler Perry. It is The Family That Prays, with an E, pun intended, on that title. And I will be getting explained to me later why that title works, because I didn't get it. But before we get to that, I'm going to go over to my fellow host, Christina. How are you, darling?
I'm great. Still on summer vacation, spent some time at the pool today, and now I get to talk about this movie with my, 50th favorite person in the whole world.
Nice. Top 50. That's pretty good. She's talking about me for anybody confused out there. No one else is on screen. I know this is audio only. But yeah, Tyler Perry. I'd seen a few Tyler Perry movies all involving Madea. Madea Goes to Jail. I saw Diary of a Mad Black Woman with my best friend, Corey. Christina, what is your experience with Tyler Perry?
I've actually never seen a Tyler Perry film that was directed or written by him. I've only actually seen him act in his more serious roles. So I've seen him in Vice and Gone Girl. I just was never super into his Madea films. I just didn't feel like our comedy lined up. So I was excited we picked this one, because I was like, well, maybe I'll enjoy his more serious movies.
Yeah, this is a non-Madea movie. He, I guess, went through a phase. I'm not too familiar with Tyler Perry either. Went through a phase where he stopped using Madea and tried to make real movies, quote unquote. I guess they're all of his movies, though. They're for a certain audience. I don't want to say that I'm not the audience. It's not my style of humor from what I've seen so far. I think Madea, played by Tyler Perry, is a fun character, but I did want to see something kind of out of the range of the Madea movies, which I think, at least for me, is what all Tyler Perry movies have gotten blended into. So, at least before this week for me. So I was excited about this. I love puns. That's what really got me to pick this one. I also really like Kathy Bates. And so we'll talk about her in this movie and if we like her character, but I like her as an actress. But first of all, I guess we should go into a synopsis. I do have a synopsis on Letterboxd if you don't want to go with the IMDb.
Oh, no. I always like to trash what IMDb says. Yeah, so IMDb tells us that the synopsis of this movie is two families from different walks of life learn to work together, which is not what this movie is about. That's not even remotely what this movie is about. Not even a little bit about it. They definitely did not watch this movie. They just saw the cover art and was like, oh, there's a black family and a white family. So they must have some sort of struggle, and they work it out in the end. That's what I'm convinced they did, because this is not what this movie is about literally at all.
Yeah, it's a movie that on the basis is kind of simple, but not really. I mean, there's 15 different plots going on. Do you want me to read the Letterboxd?
Yeah, does Letterboxd give you a...
It gives me a hefty paragraph here.
All right.
Which is more fitting for what this movie should have. So it's business is like family. Keep your affairs in order. Which there's affairs in this movie. I don't know if advising people to keep them in order is what you should do. Maybe don't have affairs should be advertising in the tagline. But who am I? So Elisa Pratt, a hardworking Christian woman, which... Christianity, indeed, was in this movie.
Her name was Alice.
Her name was Alice, played by Alfre Woodard. Also really great.
Oh, she's phenomenal.
Her and Kathy Bates are great. The rest of the cast sucks. That's the short end of it. But yeah, Alice, Christian woman raising two daughters while managing her simple diner on her own. The name of the diner is A Wing and a Prayer, I believe. It's a chicken wing joint. That's great. Her snobbish, arrogant daughter, Andrea, graduated with an economic science degree and works in a construction corporation, while her sister, Pam, stayed with Alice to work in the diner. So there's a little bit of a battle between the sisters here, one who stayed back and worked on the diner, the other one who got educated, bettered herself, and hates where she came from. Very big conflict. They're one of the many conflicts. Andrea is married to constructor worker Chris, which I'm pretty sure that is all of Chris's character traits, is he's a construction worker who works in the same corporation as his wife, but dreams of starting up his own business. Do you know what that business was? It was a construction business. because he's a construction guy. However, she is being unfaithful with their boss, William Cartwright. William is the son of Alice's best friend and wealthy person, Charlotte Cartwright, played by Kathy Bates. While Alice travels with Charlotte on a road trip, the ambition and infidelity of William triggers a series of events that will affect relationships in both families.
Okay, let me break this down for everybody. So
what is this movie about?
This movie is about like 45 things. You open up this movie, like the first 5 minutes of this movie, you have, I think, at least five plots. We open up to this wedding. Mm-hmm. We see that Kathy Bates' family is throwing the wedding for Andrea,
mm-hmm.
who is Alfred Woodard's daughter. So it's very pre-established that like they are very good friends. Mm-hmm. So we meet Andrea and she like plays like the trope of like, oh yeah, of course. It's just like the wealthy white woman like helping us out. And it's like, mm-hmm. she's not just some random wealthy white woman. She's been friends with your mother for 30 years. Like this is an established lifelong friendship. Like she's watched you grow up. She's throwing you this wedding. So like they try to put this in here that like, okay, Andrea is just like this snob, but like, let's also insert, I guess, some sort of racial conflict that's like never actually addressed in the movie. Yeah. Then we find out that like, there's a little tiff between the sisters, because the one's snobby and one's not. So that's plot number two. Then we move over to Tyler Perry and the husband she's going to marry, Chris. And
Tyler Perry and weird afro.
Yeah.
Really weird
and
afro.
Then Chris, who's about to marry Andrea, is like, I don't know if I should get married. So then we have this other weird plot of like, oh, I don't know if these guys really love each other. Then we find out that Kathy Bates has a son, her only son, who eloped, and she hates her daughter-in-law. So let's add plot point number four. Like, we're just getting all of this. And then right. And then we find out that Andrea and William like know each other. So there you go. Like we are maybe 7 minutes in this movie and we have five different like storylines that were just unraveled that like some of them were never even touched on again.
Yeah. The way that it was set up for me, at least, it felt like Kathy Bates was the mother of the groom and they had just decided they were paying for the wedding because the bride didn't have money. And then I like find out they're just like lifelong friends and she's just getting married to a construction worker. She's just getting married to like her coworker. I was like, oh, so yeah. I mean, I just was not ready for this complicated of a plot and most of them didn't work.
Right. It gets even more wild. So they get married. It yeah. doesn't really seem like either of them want to marry the other person, which just a PSA for everyone listening. This is a legal lifelong commitment. And from what I understand, it is very expensive and heart-wrenching to get yourself out of it. So if you feel like you really don't want to do it, don't do it.
It's and isn't this like a trend with Tyler Perry movies where like everybody in marriages seems to be unhappy? Isn't there like a movie? I don't know what's up with Tyler Perry. I don't think he's married himself also. I'm wondering if he's getting some demons out about commitment and how he feels about the institution of marriage maybe.
Because if you marry like the right person, which is what I hope everyone intends to do, it's a great time. So right. it's like super fun to be around your favorite person all of the time.
Yeah, it sounds great.
It's awesome. So it's just a shame. So that's how they enter this. And then like, we just see them get married and they like don't seem pumped about it. And then it's like, okay, 4 years later. Now Andrea like, yeah. Andrea.
There's crazy time jumps in this movie. There's like two or three in this movie where I'm just like, wait.
Oh, yeah, because the kid is, like, 8 years old at the end of the movie.
Right. And like, I'm like, where did this child come from?
Right.
Is that a new boyfriend?
Right.
Wait, that's your son?
It's like 4 years later and they have like a 5 or 6 year old this kid looks like, but he never actually speaks, whatever. So she has a kid. She's like this crazy executive that has like this company car. They like make it a point that like the company also pays for their house. And I'm like, the husband doesn't think that that's weird. Like, this isn't a thing that happens. Like, you know who pays for your house? Yeah, your company pays for it through your paycheck.
And yeah, but they're lifelong family friends and business associates. It's very common.
Yeah, it just was like super weird. And it's just like, he didn't seem like he wanted to marry her in the beginning of the movie. But then it turns out like she's really the issue. And then we find out that William wants to take the company from his mom. But
William
like,
is evil white devil number one.
Yes.
He is just evil. There's also a homeless white man in this movie.
Oh my God. There's so many plots in this movie. I don't even know how the
homeless man is homeless because he's tan. But that's
we did have a tragic story. This movie is a hot mess.
Yes.
There's like 15 things that occur in this movie and like none of them get resolved. Okay. So we meet Andrea. She's basically like the star of this movie.
Played by Sinan Lathan, who
yes.
I'm not too familiar with, but she's had a good amount of roles. Like She was in Life. That's where I recognize her. She's actually had a pretty good
Love and Basketball. She's Monica. Yep. It's well established that she's a snob. She's married to Chris. It seems like she's a high powered executive. Like, to me, it made sense that she like rolled up in a Mercedes when she went to the diner to go visit her mom. They get into a squabble about money. Her sister, played by the queen herself, Taraji P. Henson, who was also fantastic, but also because she's just fantastic, so she literally can't be bad in a movie.
It's crazy how Tyler Perry got Taraji P. Henson and Robin Givens in this movie as like very minor roles.
It was 2008, though.
Robin Givens still was doing it back then. But, like, yeah, that is fair. Yeah.
So we find out there's Tejin, like, you know, to just assert her dominance. Andrea, who was also throughout the movie, people called her Andrea, which I was also like, is her name Andrea or is it Andrea? You know, writes a $5,000 check. So I'm like, oh, okay. 4 years later, she was in finance. Like, listen, I'm a public educator. I know I don't make any money, but, like, you know, maybe in 4 years, you can climb up the ladder that quickly in those kind of jobs, where especially if you know somebody and you can make that kind of money.
That's fine. Yeah.
Then we find out that, like, she, like, doesn't, because I think at one point Chris was like, she makes $65,000 a year, so, like, how can she possibly pay for everything? And I'm like, everyone in this movie is an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
So stupid. And then, you know, shocking turn of events, she's having an affair with Kathy Bates' son, who is William Cartwright, who she is, like, obsessed with the fact that, like, this man has power. Like, when she tells off her husband later, he will never be William Cartwright. He doesn't stutter at business meetings, and he's charming. I was like, damn, girl. Like,
yeah, she always uses his own name when talking about him, too.
Yes, she does.
Because some of these people don't have last names.
And yeah, they're just, I don't even, this movie is such a mess that it's like obvious, like, oh, they're sleeping together. Like, oh, they're doing this. Like, nothing was subtle. Did you know that he was cheating right away as soon as he gave his wife the necklace?
Yes. Like, there was a very, it was laid on pretty heavily there with the gazes and just, like,
yeah.
So, I mean, I knew right away. I don't know how his wife didn't know. His wife seemed kind of stupid, though.
I mean, I could get that. Here's my other thing, though. Like,
her name's Jillian, of course.
I don't know. Anthony doesn't surprise me with a lot. So, like, when he does, I'm always like, what are you up to? So, like, maybe this guy surprises her a lot. Maybe she's just trying to be naive.
He doesn't seem like the type who does. He seems like the type who only does nice things when he's done something horrible.
Right. And he gave her, like, a really, 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 really nice necklace for this, like, gala that they were going to. But then they do, like, the weird, like, hug, and, like, he stares off. And it's like, oh, you're definitely cheating. But at this point, we didn't realize that he was cheating with Andrea quite yet. But they were pretty obvious about, like, oh, yeah, like, they have an appointment every Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. That's when they bang on Wednesdays, hump day.
Yeah, hump day is is literal here in the family, that phrase. So we have this affair storyline that's happening throughout the entire movie.
The entire movie.
Chris, the husband of Andrea, his big major point is not only is he like an idiot, he is working construction and he's like, we can do this better. His whole thing is like, I want to start my own business. So he's like trying to get a loan. He's trying to get Andrea to talk to William to see if maybe he can invest.
He's always about those quick rich schemes, as she said. Which I didn't really like get the impression he was this like scammer. I think he just was anxious to take control of his like business and like have his own thing and not work for somebody else. And like he had his buddy Ben, I believe, who was played by Tyler Perry with his afro. But like she's accused him multiple times. She's like, you're always in it for these get rich quick schemes, which starting your own business is not that. That's like a very noble thing to do as a construction man.
You're always spending my money. I'm like, bitch, you make 65K.
I'm spending William Cartwright's money, like, not yours.
And then they like just make him like this pathetic husband that she just like walks all over. He finds her secret bank account, which like, bitch, if you're going to have a secret bank account, you don't make it a joint bank account that he has access to. You opened up a secret bank account in your name and your husband's name and gave it a joint account where you both have access to it, where he legally can drain and close the account because that is how joint accounts work.
Exactly.
Yep. If you are hiding money from somebody, you put it in your name only. In fact, you put it in like a close relative that you can trust and then you two have the joint account. Like, what the F? This is not how you hide money. Trust me, I looked into this before I got married in case I ever needed to.
Yeah, it's smart. And as a Jew, I respect this financial solvency and responsibility. And I do not approve of how Andrea handles her finances. I don't know because the characters call her different names. So she went by both. So how about both?
Because at one point, even her husband called her Andrea. And I was like, I just feel like you of all people should know how to pronounce her name.
Who was your least favorite character?
God.
I know. It's really tough. I hated the husband.
He was just so pathetic.
He had no character traits. And the ones that got assigned to him weren't accurate either. And it was just like, he stole money from his wife to like secretly start a business. Like, I don't.
But he didn't steal it from her because it was in their joint account, which means it's legally his.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, morally, he stole it from her.
Stole her money. Well, it wasn't even her money. It was the gifts from William Cartwright because, and I quote, he's my man, Chris.
Let's go over to when Jillian finds out about the infidelity. What was your opinions on her reaction?
I felt bad when she saw them because I thought Chris was going to be the one that went up. Yeah. But so we eventually, like, we know that they're having an affair.
Yeah.
Chris, like, knows and, like, won't agree to it. Like, won't, like, acknowledge that it happens. Even when they finally go to this gala, which he wasn't originally invited to, they all go.
Right.
The secretary there is like wasted and was like, oh, they're definitely upstairs, like doing it. Like, I looked at Anthony when I watched this and I went, really? Like, they're really just like blowing
they
up.
They had to reveal it somehow and make it clear that Chris cares more about his manhood than his marriage. To where he couldn't acknowledge being cheated on because it would fracture his manhood. Obviously.
So we all think that it's going to be him and it's really William's wife that goes up. And I did feel bad for her because she really didn't know.
Yeah, she was curious.
Did you think, though, that when she confronted him by the pool later that he was going to kill her? Because I totally did.
There was an angle that definitely was imposing, like that he was. Yeah, and I was familiar somewhat with Tyler Perry films that they go from very jovial to a dour circumstance at some point in the movie. And the cover has, like, hands choking a neck. And so I'm like, oh, is this where we get, like, the cover? Like, the family that prays is murdering. Like, that's what I was waiting for this whole movie. With Family That Prays, I was waiting for murder. So I didn't get the title of the movie. I know we're jumping around here, but The Family That Prays, the cover has hands choking a throat. I was waiting for a throat choke the whole movie.
Yeah.
We did get women getting hit. So we can check that.
We will get to that. Yes, we will get to that. So we get to this part where she confronts him and like he obviously doesn't like answer her question. And then she interestingly runs to Kathy Bates's character. And it's very clear that they don't like each other. Like, it's established. Like, in the very beginning of the movie, Kathy Bates is like, oh, look, here's my son and his, like, wench of a wife or something. Like,
insults
her, like, as soon as she sees her. So, like, their relationship isn't good. She's sobbing. Kathy Bates has no sympathy. She's like, bitch, I've been through this. But, yo, she hit her with the line of, like, you're married to someone with an inheritance and you didn't get a prenup. You literally hold all of the cards. You just tell them what you want them to do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, bitch, you're cold. Like, that's your company that he has, like, the inheritance to. So, like, you basically were just, like, take whatever you want from him. So, like, that's basically the affair storyline. We'll get to the ending because everything, like, culminates at the end. So while all of this is happening, that they're having this affair, that Chris is an idiot, that poor Jillian is sad, we have the side storyline of now Alice's character who owns the diner, who it seems like all her life she's just been, like, this hardworking woman and she just wants to help the community and there's a homeless guy that she really wants to help. She knows his story and, you know, she's really great friends with Kathy Bates and Kathy Bates is like, let's go on this road trip. Like, I want to spend time with you. You're my best
friend. The homeless guy real quick. Didn't the daughter really not want to help the homeless guy?
Pam did not. Yeah. She did not want to help him.
What was that about?
I guess she just thought that maybe he was scamming her, but
I was just like, this is so weird that like, I just think they're adding conflict for conflict's sake there.
It right.
To show that Pam is a good person, even when she doesn't want to be, but by being that rude to a homeless man,
right? Like, wanted to make Pam a hater, like all the time. Like, she was like hating on her sister for being snooty. She's hating on her mom for helping people. Like,
she was just like a hater with a heart.
Yeah, they just wanted to make her a hater. I don't know. So then they decide. So while all of this is happening, all of this craziness, Kathy Bates and Alfred Woodard decide to go on a road trip, which I thought those scenes were lovely.
Should have been the whole movie.
Yeah. Those two women were just like having a good time. They have this bonding experience. Alice is super duper religious. So like they put that in where like Kathy Bates finally gets baptized. Like they have really beautiful moments. And then here's plot point number 537.
It wasn't enough.
There was literally no indication that this was an issue. And then it's like, oh, P.S. Kathy Bates' character has dementia, but it's only twice in this movie and it's only at night.
Right. And it's never even hinted at. And anybody who's listening to this podcast knows one of my touchy issues is how dementia is portrayed in film. This is not on the list of the Hall of Fame of dementia portrayal. I was like, what? Why? Because of tragedy? It wasn't a part of the plot. It wasn't necessary. And it just came out of nowhere. And I thought, did I forget earlier in the movie? It was literally just like mentioned twice.
Right. They were just like, oh, by the way, in this scene, you're going to, you know, you're going to
Forgetful Sue.
Right. She's literally CEO of a multi-billion dollar company and is still currently running it up until this point.
Yeah,
she
and not trailing off seems very coherent. Right. See, I don't know, again, why.
Never was like, oh, I wonder where I put my keys. Like, nothing that even would make her a forgetful person.
No, she seems
they
very...
They throw this in the mix and decide, okay, they're going to come back home. What they come back home to is now finding out that their children are having an affair. Because then we get to the confrontation scene in the diner. So one of the things Chris finds out is that in the secret bank account, there's almost $300,000 that he now decides to take.
The secret joint bank account.
Yes, the secret joint bank account that he decides to take so he can start his own business after he was turned down from the bank and he was turned down by the great charismatic William Cartwright, even though like he really should have helped him out because he has the company car and pays for the house because he's banging his wife. But whatever, I digress. So they get confronted. So now this scene was, I don't even freaking know. This scene was great, terrible. I don't know. So Andre and Chris are screaming at each other. You always steal my money, blah, 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 blah. And then that's where she hits him with like, yeah, why does William Cartwright pay for all your stuff? Well, he's my man, Chris. He's my man. To which Chris backhands her to the point where she flies over and rolls over the counter. And I know we're not supposed to laugh at hitting women.
Oh, it was
I laughed because I was like, this
he shook his hand after. He was like, Jesus, I hit her hard.
It was the most dramatic thing I'd ever seen because she was like 3 feet away from the counter. So the fact that she then threw her body.
She went up in the air, up and over the counter, just like into blackness. Like they didn't even show her like getting back up. There's like, Jesus.
Yep. In front of like her sister, her brother-in-law, her mother, who like didn't say anything. Not like,
weren't there patrons in the restaurant also?
Yes. Like nobody
everywhere. There was people just looking in horror, right? There was like
but like nobody like came after him. Nobody went to go help her. Like basically she stands up and he leaves and the mom just looks at her like in disgust of just like how could you be somebody that cheats on your husband? And then we also find out that like potentially their child is actually his child, which
right,
like
the child was William Cartwright's, right?
According to her, supposedly. Who knows?
And then he still kisses him like when he comes back to drop off the wad of cash. Which, like, let's just...
It seems like they're sharing custody. I don't know, because it doesn't seem like William wants to claim them.
It seemed like that was the first time that Chris had kissed him on the head. But
it's just, like, so much is happening. So, like, we have the affair. We have the fact that, like, Kathy Bates and her daughter-in-law don't get along. We had the road trip. We have the sibling rivalry. We have, like, the hidden bank account. Yeah, we have this random dementia. We didn't even talk about the business end of this is that Kathy Bates hires a new COO who William throws, like, a temper tantrum about because he thinks he should automatically just get promoted because it's the family company. And this is where it comes into the family that prays. And the family that prays, you have the literal family that prays because you have Alice's family who's super religious. And then you have the family that prays in business because they're always trying to attack each other. And they're always trying to undercut each other and take each other's money away. That's the meaning of the movie.
Okay, but it's only praise, P-R-E-Y. It's not P-R-E/A-Y. Like,
yeah, but that's the point of it.
But both sides should be praying in some way then.
So
I hate it.
All of this is occurring. And then we find out that like William made a really bad deal. And the way to get out of it is that Kathy Bates would have to sell 10% of her stock. She would still have majority vote, though, if he uses his shares with her, which obviously his plan was to not. He wants to oust her from the company because apparently she's just like not good at handling decisions.
Why do you just say like she has dementia and be like,
because no one knew she had dementia because she didn't actually freaking have dementia. She just like said she did at one point.
She forgot a couple of things. She's like, I have dementia. What can I say? No, you just forgot things.
He like couldn't figure out how to put put a, like a memory card in a digital camera and then was like, this is it. I have dementia.
So maybe she was a hypochondriac and that thought got chopped.
I will say the post-it scene was a little sad and like her going in the medicine cabinet. Other than that though, I was like, those are literally the only two scenes where like the fact that she has dementia is even recorded because he wants to essentially stage a coup and kick her out. And the only reason she knows is because the daughter-in-law tells her after they have their heart-to-heart, which then she, a woman suffering from apparently very late Alzheimer's or dementia, looks clean, looks well put together, makeup on, hair done, business suit on, and calls a board meeting where she eloquently states her case about how not everybody is here to vote. And in fact, there is like a company that is a major shareholder that hasn't voted in 15 years. And it turns out the whole time, the secret company is really Alice, the homeless guy, Nick, and Pam are like the shareholders.
That's the secret company.
And,
then,
and no one knew that like Alice had this like secret company that like she was secretly a millionaire. So like she was just running this diner for fun. And like Nick was actually the shareholder in the original company. And then when he lost his job, like, I don't actually know how that works because I don't understand business. But like, lo and behold, they don't oust Kathy Bates. She stays and then William gets fired. So that's the other thing too, which I think that was another stick it to her daughter-in-law that she didn't like.
Yep.
Because he didn't have a prenup. So now she also ensures that the daughter-in-law is not getting anything if he's not making any money, unless there is some inheritance that they are definitely entitled to. And then finally, Andrea and William just have like their conflict in the parking lot where they just like are screaming at each other and baby, please, like, please don't leave me. And she's like sobbing in the street. And then it was just like another time jump where like everything's fine. Kathy Bates dies and then like Chris gets his company and gives Andrea her money back. And like, that's the movie.
That is the whole movie. And Chris literally gives her money back in like a roll of money. So he just gave back 300,000, just like a wad of cash.
For those of you that are listening, if this sounds like a chaotic conversation, it's because this movie was like truly a chaotic watching experience because it was so all over the place. Like watching this, I was like, some of the dialogue, some of the writing was just so rough. Some of the acting performances were even worse. And then it was just like, there was just literally so much happening that I think this movie had such potential with some of their storylines if we just let them focus on those storylines. Like the friendship between Kathy Bates and Alfred Woodard was so good.
With a road trip movie with a little bit of chickens coming home to roost with these other storylines towards the end. And, you know, you could have even like, it was chaotic. The acting for me is one of the things that really stood out in a negative way. I just thought everybody besides the two leads we talked about were really bad. They stood out. It had a weird Instagram filter to it where it was just like everything looked artificial and saturated and not great. There was like the music was fine, but it was kind of just generic. I don't know. It wasn't so bad. It was good either. It was just kind of bad and incoherent for me.
Yeah, I think just what turned me off is there was just like, I watched it. It wasn't like I was disinterested in what was happening, but it was just like, there was so much that I couldn't even totally get invested in what everybody was going through. And I just felt like the affair was just so obvious and like how it played out where it was like, I guess that it was nice that they didn't go with like the typical tropes of like everybody being in on it and trying to hide it. But like the fact that they just like let it all out like that, there was just way too much happening. I just didn't believe some of these relationships, like Andrea and Chris's marriage. I just didn't believe it. The fact that he smacked her and then like she already emasculated you earlier in the movie and you just took it. So like now you finally hit your boiling point when she like confirms her affair that you already knew about.
Right.
Now you're going to hit her.
Tyler Perry's character was weird to me too. It's like that's Chris's friend, but like I also didn't know what their plan was for their business, why it was like, I guess I didn't need to. That would just been one more plot point. Yeah, it was just kind of incoherent, a little bit hand washy at points where it was just like, years later it was confusing with not intentionally confusing. And it was just like, did William Cartwright have a redeeming quality in the movie?
I mean, did the man smile in the movie? Like, he was like so evil, boring.
Evil white devil, like, which it's like fine, but like complex characters would be a little more helpful here, and it just seemed like every character was either good or not good. It was just
He was a guy that just was mad that his mommy wasn't giving him the company because he assumed that he was entitled to that because he was the only child. We never even got to a point where like it seemed like he was unhappy in his marriage that he would then go cheat.
Yeah.
He just was a cheater. Right. So like, are we just going with like the general like all men are scum?
All
like,
men cheat.
Yeah, all like. The friendship, though, between Kathy Bates and Alfred Woodard was a beautiful part of the movie. They bonded over the fact that, like, they were single women. You know, they had lost their husbands mm-hmm. through various reasons, either through divorce or I don't know if Kathy Bates had any of them that she had more than one. So maybe one of them died, but they bonded over that. And they had years and years of friendship and they watched their children grow up. But, like, they never really explored that, like, their kids had known each other and, like, they'd had known each other. And it was just, like, mentioned, like, we've been friends for 30 years. And it was like, okay, so let's build on that. That really. Right. This movie, I think, just had such potential with if you just stuck to like three storylines, this would have been great. Because like Tyler Perry is a good actor to Raji. He's a great actor.
Yeah, Robin Givens is great. I mean, they really all are outstanding in this movie. I mean, Alfred Woodard is a world-class actress, and she's great in this. And then it drops off. Tyler Perry, not good. Sanan Lathan, I mean, not great.
Yeah, and I've seen her in other stuff, and she's definitely better than that performance.
I mean, I've seen all these people in other stuff where they're better. Rockman Dunbar, I believe, was in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and a few other movies that I like. And he played Chris, by the way. He was my least favorite. Like, just terrible. But, yeah, I mean, it... Still, I think there is a particular audience that I can see really liking this movie, maybe not being as critical, being okay with being confused, maybe, and not much looking into the development.
I don't say I'm confused. Like, I don't think, like, they did anything that I didn't understand. It was just, like, there was just so much that
That's
was
happening. That's what I mean, like, why? Like,
yeah.
Like, confused as in, like, why is this happening? Right. I think maybe an audience... Average audience would just be like, man, this is a lot. This sure is crazy. I don't know where it's going next, like type of thing.
Right.
Maybe if you're very religious, very Christian, I should say specifically, this movie could be for me like the very Christian moments, like the Christian gospel music when it came over and like the over the top messages made me roll my eyes. Maybe I'm a devil.
Maybe. I think I'm ready for some closing thoughts on this because this was just like...
This movie was a lot. You can lead us in and all.
Yeah, I'll go first. There were parts of this I liked. I wanted to really like the whole thing. You know, I was engaged. I watched the whole movie. It wasn't like I was like, oh God, this movie's so terrible. I want to turn it off. It was just, there was so much happening. And then I think they really established characters that I couldn't really connect to. And the two that I did had like the least amount of screen time. So I just wish they kind of did less so that the actors that they hired could do more. It's just, it was too many storylines that were happening. There was so much going on. They like threw stuff in that never really got resolved. And then the actors that they had just didn't do that great of a job, even though I know their potential is much higher. Some of the writing I thought was a little bit corny. Would I watch it again if it was on cable? Probably, but like, I'm not going to sit here and choose to put it on. I'm going to give it a 1.5.
Oof. Wow, I was expecting a little bit higher than that. That's great.
Ooh, it wasn't very good. It wasn't. No, it wasn't.
I was just expecting how you were, describing it a little bit better. This movie certainly didn't make me want to go down the Tyler Perry rabbit hole. That's for sure. I'm not about to go and put on another Tyler Perry movie here. This is not a girl shy moment for me where all of a sudden I was introduced to a new subgenre that I decided to dive down. It was fine. Felt like a TBS, TNT type of like movie that should only be on cable. I can't believe it was ever in theaters, to be honest. Like, and the part that was more shocking, though, is just seeing all of the talent that was wasted. Taraji P. Henson, Robin Givens, even if these people weren't who they are now, they had more talent than was presented here. Tyler Perry's Afro freaked me out. Chris is one of the worst characters in, like, a movie that we've reviewed for a while for me. Just, like, butchering of the dementia. I'm also going with a 1.5 out of 5.
No, that's easy math for us.
I don't like to do math, so that's why I gave that rating. But also, I don't rate low. You can look at my ratings throughout this show, and I've had very few that have been this low. This movie just is one of my worst sins. It's forgettable and confusing. So it's not like memorable and confusing. It's just like, forgot all that happened and that the movie, I'm not going to remember in 2 days, probably. So I'm happy for people who are very into Tyler Perry. I do think he has an audience that is not me, and that's okay. And I've watched other movies that are for audiences, not for me. So I don't think that completely excuses kind of our issues with the movie. But yeah, not a great one. 1.5 and 1.5 divided by 2. That is an average rating of 1.5 out of 5 stars. Definitely on the lower end for the year. And I was hoping to be surprised by my Tyler Perry movie. This was kind of what I was afraid it would be, which was like very heavy religious symbolism with like unnecessary drama and like confusing moments, not from a plot perspective, but just from a like why
right.
leave this all in there. This is a case of Tyler Perry being the producer, director, and writer, and how this doesn't work out, I think, because no one was there to say no to anything he was doing. That, unfortunately, is going to wrap up our Tyler Perry section of the podcast. I'm sure there's great Tyler Perry out there, and we're not judging anybody who is into whatever you're into. This just wasn't for us. Next week, we're going back in time a little bit. I think it's like the 30s or the 20s that most of these movies take place in. I know that there's a few people in this community who are big fans of these guys, the Marx Brothers. I know nothing about them other than that they're in a bunch of movies. And I'm only going to have one suggestion because it's the movie I think of when I hear the Marx Brothers. I haven't seen it yet. It's Duck Soup. I've passed this movie for years and years now. I know it's a shorter movie. I'm not sure if most of their movies are this short or not, but it takes place in 1933. It's 69 minutes long. Nice. Do you have any?
The only one I would have suggested along with Duck Soup would be A Night at the Opera. So this one's a little bit longer. This is an hour and 36 minutes. This was 1935. Both of these are comedy musicals. So I think we're going to be happy with whatever we pick because we love comedy. And I think you have an appreciation for musicals now. I'm okay with either one. I know that A Night at the Opera was recommended to us when we put out our sign-up sheet at the very beginning of the year.
So here's Duck Soup. It's Rufus T. Firefly is named president/dictator of bankrupt Fredonia and declares war on neighboring Sylvania over the love of wealthy Mrs. Teasdale. So that sounds pretty crazy and out there. And it's got Harpo, it's got Groucho, it's got Chico. So Chico Marx is in it. Chico's now looking at me, wondering why I'm saying his name. But this movie has a Chico in it, but both of them do, as they're Marx Brothers. And then Night at the Opera is a sly business manager and two wacky friends of two opera singers help them achieve success while humiliating their stuffy, snobbish enemies. That sounds way more fun.
There's also a little bit of a love story and a love triangle in A Night at the Opera if you want to feel a little romantic.
Yeah, you know what? I'm always in the mood for love. So my vote is for A Night at the Opera.
That works for me.
A Night at the Opera it is. Christina and Aaron, I don't know how to say my own name now. Go to the opera. Christina, anything you got to plug or you get to remain a normal person?
No, it is so great to be back to normalcy. So hopefully the Delta variant doesn't ruin that. But yeah, keep watching the showdown, guys. Keep rooting for the stars. We're in last place, but we are climbing to the top because it's tournament season, baby. So we are coming for it. You better watch out. We're going to be number one at the end of the season, or at least we're going a little bit, I think, maybe. I don't know.
Spoiler alert, the Stars win the Schmodown season, which is going to be very shocking. I don't got anything going on. Aaron the Dog MMA YouTube channel, if you want to check that out for all my thoughts on cage fighting. Otherwise, I will be back next week with Christina to break down our first Marx Brothers movie in A Night at the Opera. So for Aaron, for Christina, keep praying, whether it's with an E or an A, and keep digesting that cinema with a D.